void. We walk in it as we trust it, hallelujah. And as we walk with you, Father God, we thank you that your word will work in us mightily. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. And Father, I thank you for the anointing and the call upon my life to minister your word. And I'm resting in that tonight, not in my own strength, not in my own ability, but I'm resting in the Holy Spirit. I give him his liberty to lead me, to guide me, to think through my mind, to speak through my mouth, however he chooses. I yield myself to him right now. And we will give you all the glory, Heavenly Father, all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. All right. What I want you to do is turn again to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. James chapter 4. Again, my subject is get close to God and stay close to God. You know, sometimes, and I will read the verse in just a moment, but sometimes folks are run to God when they are frightened, and that's a good thing to do. Amen. Or if you're in trouble, run to God. It's better to run from him. Run to him and run from him, right? Amen. Amen. We need to run to God. But here's what happens too many times when the trouble ceases, or when things get better, or when the folks are no longer afraid, they walk away from God. Amen. And they say, okay, God, you took care of that for me. I'll take it from here. Well, let me tell you something. I'm here to tell you, you can't handle your life by yourself. You cannot run your life by yourself. Now, you may disagree with that statement. You can run your life, but it won't be, as I've heard some people put it, it won't be your best life. It won't be your most productive life. It won't be your most victorious life. Hallelujah. Life, a productive life is more than finances. You know, some folks say, man, I got all the money I need. I'm doing good. I can buy any car I want. I can buy any house I want. I can buy any yacht I want. I can buy anything I want because I am set for life. But let me tell you something. If you're not in Jesus Christ, if you're not following him, your life is incomplete because money cannot give you everything you need. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we need to get close to God and we need to stay close to him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And I'm not saying you can't have things. That's not what I'm saying. But God need to always be first in your life. Let me say that again. God must always be number one in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. God told the children of Israel in the Ten Commandments that they are not to have any other God before him. Because he says, I am a jealous God. Hallelujah. I mean, he is God Almighty. You hear me? He is God Almighty. There is none greater than him. And so when we put things, or when we put people ahead of God, that's an insult to God. Hallelujah. God wants to be number one in your life all the time. We're going to read our verse. We are. But God is supposed to be more important to you than your husband or your wife. Husbands, I want to tell you something. Wives, you listen too, because it applies to you. If you really, really, really want to love your husband or love your wife, you love God first, because he will give you the love you need to love your spouse. It's called the agape kind of love, which is the God kind of love. People have, and we won't go into different types of love, but people call a lot of stuff love, you know. If you give me what I want, I love you. No, that's just taking advantage of somebody or using somebody. That's not love. Huh? Amen. Love says, I'll go to bat for you anytime. Love says, I'll step up to the plate for you. But you see, that's the God kind of love. But in order to have that love operating in your life, you got to put God first. You can't have your wife first. You can't have your husband first. You can't have your boyfriend or your girlfriend as number one in your life. It has to be God. Amen. Glory to God. If people would, if folks would get Jesus Christ back into their marriage and into their home, and not just have him there, but let him be Lord of the house, you will see a change. Amen. And I'm going back to my verse, but let me say this to you, because I know this is helping somebody. Hallelujah. I remember when my wife and I got married, and I was in the service, and I took her to the Air Force base for the very first time. And I had rented us a little mobile home. It was little and is on its last legs. Strong wind might have took it away. I don't know. But it was our home, you know. It was our home. And I remember telling the Lord when we walked into our little mobile home the very first time. I said, Lord Jesus, I just want you to know that I am not the head of my house. I know what some think. Oh, so your wife is? Oh, yeah. Just hang on. Hear me out. I said, Lord Jesus, I am not the head of my house. You are. You are. I make you number one in my home. Because I'm imperfect. My wife's imperfect. We're still growing. We're still learning. Especially at the age of, 21, 22. You know, I had a lot to learn. Both of us did. We had a lot to learn. We needed God's help. We needed his help. We needed his leadership. We needed his guidance. Sometimes we had disagreements. We didn't agree on things. And this, what I'm about to tell you is not always easy, but you got to do it. Got to be willing to pray together. And you got to be willing to go to the Word of God. Through prayer and the Word of God, find the right answer. Because a lot of times we think we are right, or our spouse thinks they are right, where in some cases both of us are wrong. Sometimes both can be wrong. But when Jesus Christ is the head of the home, you run everything past him, ask him for leadership, ask him for guidance, spend time with him in prayer, pray together. Amen. You know the best time to pray together? Maybe I shouldn't phrase it that way. Let me say it this way. You know a good time to pray together, husbands and wives? When you're upset with each other. Glory to God. I believe I heard some false teeth falling. That is not easy to do. But it'll break that power. It'll break it. Say, okay, let's pray together about this. Let's turn this over to the Lord. Ask him to speak to your heart, teach you, show you. He'll do that. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God, praise God. Amen. Well, like I said, I'm going to read my scripture, my verse here in just a moment. But again, you know, when I pray and ask the Spirit of God to lead me, I'm not just saying words. I mean it. I mean it. I don't want to stand before you that are here in the sanctuary, or you that are watching, and just be saying something. No. I want to preach you and teach you a Spirit-led message. So I believe that helps somebody. Not maybe in the sanctuary, I don't know, but definitely somebody that's viewing. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. James chapter 4. I told you that, right? Y'all should be at James chapter 4 by now, right? All right. Drop down to verse 8. What's our subject? Get close to God and stay close to God. Verse 7, I will read. I said drop down to verse 8, but I'm going to begin reading at verse 7. It says, therefore submit, New King James Version, therefore submit to God, resist the devil. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You can resist the devil, by the way. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. But now look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Draw near to God. You see that? We have to do that. We have to do that. Think about that for a moment. The Word of God tells us to draw near to God. Too many times we want God's blessings, we want God's protection, we want all of God's goodies, but sometimes we want to do like I preached last week, that, you know, we want to follow him, we want to follow Jesus at a distance. We want to follow him at a distance. And we're called to draw close to him. Draw close to God. That is something that we have to do. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. We have to make a choice that I am going to draw close to God. Hallelujah. And God's made a deal with us. He's made a deal with us. Verse 8 again. Draw near to God. And listen to what he said. And he will draw near to you. If we draw near to God, he's going to draw near to us. Why? Now our heart is in the right place. We have a heart for God. We want to be close to God. We want to please God with our lives. So when we draw near to God, God says, you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. And it goes on to say, and it's something else the believer has to do. This is talking to Christians, by the way. Amen. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. How many of you know Christians can sin? Amen. Amen. How many of you know Christians do sin? Amen. God doesn't want us to sin. I know we're growing. Amen. Amen. I know we're growing. I know sometimes we slip up, we mess up. That's the reason we have 1 John 1:9. You need to always remember that verse. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're all growing, okay? Sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we say things that we shouldn't say. Sometimes we let our temper get away from us. We snap at each other. You know, any of you married people in here know what I'm talking about? Amen. Y'all ever snapped at each at least? Now, come on. They can't see you on camera. If you snapped at one another at least once since you've been married, raise your hand. At least once. See, my hand's up too. Amen. Thank you. But you know what? You know what? That wasn't right, was it? So guess what? We have to say, first of all, we need to tell our spouse, honey, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Or go to God and ask God to forgive you, okay? You go to God and ask him to forgive you. Honestly, that shouldn't be a continual thing. We need to grow beyond that. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We need to grow beyond that. But my point is that is something that we have to do. We have to put forth the effort to do that. So when the word of God says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded, it's saying you do it. You put forth the effort to do that. And then God says, yes, 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 I will draw near to you. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. I didn't intend to, but I'm going. It says, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Some folks are living in sin, and they're happy about it. Amen. Some folks are doing their own thing and they're happy about it. They come to church on Sunday mornings praising and thanking God and look over at you and say, don't you judge me. Me and God have an understanding. Okay. But if what you are doing is crosswise, the word of God contradicting the word of God, you and God don't have an understanding. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's what?
Wrong.
Say that again. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's
wrong.
Period. Amen. Hallelujah. And so some of these folks were, doing their thing, and they were Christians and doing their things and having a good time. God says, hold up. Hold up. You're not as close to me as you think you are. You need to draw near to me so that I can draw near to you. And you need to resist the devil. Amen. Y'all with me? Praise God. Amen. And we don't ever want to get to the place to where we are deceived. I don't ever, listen to me, please. I don't want to ever think I'm okay when I'm not. My Lord. Now that's what I'm saying here is not to put anybody under condemnation. That's not what I'm saying. But everything I do, I need to run it by God and run it through his word to make sure that I am on the right path. Hallelujah. Amen. I say this, I've said this many, many times. Dear God, help me never to believe a lie. Can I get an amen on that? Dear God, help me never, ever, ever to believe a lie. Help me never, ever live a lie, thinking I'm okay because somebody told me I was okay. You know, Jesus said something about, you know, how can the blind lead the blind? How can a blind man tell you you're going in the right direction? Oh, you okay, buddy? Yeah, you're all right. Just keep traveling the path you're on. And he can't see. How can someone rescue us out of the ditch if they're stuck in the ditch? Hallelujah. All right, let me move on. Hallelujah. So get close to God and stay close to God. Hallelujah. Now, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 91. Why do we need to get close to God and stay close to God? And I already told you in one of the other meetings that, number one, we need to get close to God and stay close to God simply because we love him and we want to do what he says. Amen? Amen. We love him and we want to obey him. If nothing else, obey him because we love him, if nothing else. But there, number two is when we draw close to God, or when we get close to God and we walk close to God, it's a place of safety. Everybody say place of safety. It's a place of safety. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Psalm 91, verse 1, you probably know it. I know those of you in the sanctuary here probably know it very well. I love this psalm. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Hallelujah. Why is it a secret place? Because the devil's not there. Amen. And he don't know how to get there. He don't have a combination. Amen. He don't have a key. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Glory to God. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust, or in him will I trust. I want to tell you something. The words that come out of your mouth is very, very, very important. Hallelujah. Please grab a hold of that. Verse 1 again says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let me say that again. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If God is your refuge, you need to say so.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. If God is your secret place, you need to say so. Do you know that everything that is, the earth, all the universe, everything that is, God created with his word? He created with his word. He spoke and said, let there be. And there was. Let there be light. And there was light. You hear me? But now the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1 also, that we're created in his image and in his likeness. Amen. If you're created in his image and likeness and you know it, raise your hands. Those of you out there watching too. Amen. See, we're created in his image and in his likeness. Everybody say likeness.
Likeness.
Say it again. Say likeness. So that means then we are not God, but we are in the likeness of God. We are in the likeness of God. The Bible says that we are spirit, soul, and body. Amen. In that order. We're spirit, soul, and body. And we are going to, if you're born again, we're going to live forever. I'm so glad to be able to say I'll never die.
Hallelujah.
You will never die.
Thank you, Lord.
Uh-oh, preacher, I was with you now until you made that statement. Now you got over in the error. No. Hear me out. The body may die. The body may go back to the ground or be cremated or however it's done. That may happen to the body. But the real you,
Lord,
will never die. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's the reason I said spirit, soul, and body in that order, because the body one day will be changed. Now we will have a immortal body one day. Amen. I said we are going to have an immortal body one day. How many of y'all excited about that? Praise God. God's got another suit for me. And I'm not talking about my clothes either. God's got another suit for me that'll never perish, that'll never hurt, that'll never grow old.
No coronavirus.
Hallelujah. And my spirit and my soul will be housed in that immortal body. Never, never, never die. I'm living forever because I'm born again. Now, of course, for anybody that's not born again, simply because you're created in God's image and God's likeness, you can never cease to exist. Now, that's a terrible thought right there if you don't know Christ. Because anything made in God's likeness is forever. Come on now, y'all with me? Anything created in God's likeness is forever. It is eternal. Those that receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, those that get born again, they have eternal life. Everybody say eternal life.
Eternal life.
They have eternal life. Those that refuse Jesus Christ, guess what? They have eternal death, because the opposite of life is death. So they have eternal death. I'm not talking about death from the standpoint of ceasing to exist. I'm talking about a life without God, a life of torment, a life of misery. Hallelujah. Praise God. But anyway, I kind of got off over on that, but excited me. I hope it did y'all too. But let me move on. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Hallelujah. And my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. I want to tell you something. Hallelujah. We must remind ourselves who we are, because we're like batteries. We leak. Sometimes we forget. Remember, Jesus gave the parable of the sower, and how the devil would come and try to steal the word. Hold on to God's word. But one way you hold on to it is to talk it, to mutter it, to speak it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I shall not lack. Let me tell you something. When you speak God's words, things begin to happen in the spiritual realm, because the word of God is being spoken. Amen. The powers of darkness are now, they're being shaken, because the word of God is being spoken. So when we say the Lord is my refuge and my fortress, in Him I will trust. That's the word of God, folks. Glory to God. And you get that thing building in your spirit. Hallelujah. Get it building in your spirit. If anything arise, anything come, any challenge in your life, all of a sudden that very word of God that you have put on the inside of you, that you've been talking, that you've been speaking, come right up out of your spirit and remind you of who you really are. When voices all around you are saying, you're going down, you're going down, you're going to die, you're defeated, you'll never make it, you can never survive this one. But then you remind yourself, it'll come right up out of your spirit, the Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my fortress. I'm trusting in the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is a wonderful psalm, but I don't have time tonight to go through it, all of it. But remember, we're told to draw close to Him, right? Get close to Him. Drop down to verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge. You see that? Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. You see that? No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Hallelujah. No plague, no pandemic, no nothing. Glory to God. For He shall give His angels charge over you and keep you in all your ways. Now we see here in Psalm 91 where the writer is speaking the word of God. Amen. Exercising his faith by speaking the word of God. Amen. How many of you know, and we're going to quit right here, but you like this. Y'all like this. Yeah. Amen. The writer says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. In him will I trust. Okay? Amen. And he goes on to tell us what God will do. He's speaking the word of God. How many of you know God gets excited when we speak his word in faith? Oh, come on, y'all. God gets excited when we speak his word in faith. When we are speaking the word of God, we get his attention.
Amen.
Glory to God. We get his attention. We have his attention. So the writer here is talking about all that God will do for us if we would draw close to him, if we would come into his secret place and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, if we'll do all this, and then God said, I love it. 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 Now, I got to have something to say about this. When we talk about the Lord, when we pray to the Lord, or when we confess the word of God, sometimes God will just talk back to us. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes God will talk back to us. Amen. Because he honors his word. Verse 14, God says, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him or her. I will set him on high. Why? Because he has known my name. He shall call upon me. And I can just hear God saying that about me. How about you? James shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Glory to God, he's done it, and he's doing it. Listen to this. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Glory to God, hallelujah. That was a place right there for y'all to shout. Y'all missed the opportunity right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's called getting close to God. God said, if you draw close to me, I'm going to draw close to you. And God says, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to help you in your time of trouble. I'm going to lead you when you need direction in your life. I'm going to give you what you need. And that's a promise from heaven. That's a promise from God Almighty. Amen. Amen. And I take him at his word. Glory to God. Amen. I could continue with this another hour, but we're getting ready to quit. Amen. Give you something to digest. Until next week. Glory to God. Amen. Go back. Read the scriptures that we've read tonight. Matter of fact, I encourage you to read Psalm 91 from beginning to end. Just read it. And as you read it, just hear God talking to you. Just see God talking to you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us so much.